To have you with us this afternoon, and I trust in some small way you being here with us tonight will play a part in bringing you and the ones you love blessing during this Christmas season. Over the past 2 weeks with two different leadership teams here at the church, I kickstarted a conversation by asking the following question. I said, I want everyone around the circle to name a meaningful Christmas gift that you've received and then describe to everyone what it was about the gift that made it meaningful. And I envisioned the conversation going very differently than it actually did. I expected people to very quickly be able to name a standout gift or gifts to everyone around the circle. I mean, after all the time and effort and money we spend thoughtfully choosing gifts for one another, I expected everyone would generate a list of gifts miles long. Instead, nearly every person struggled to come up with even one gift that they still considered meaningful. Now, I have no doubt that Pastor Marty's Barbie summer camper was very, very meaningful, and that she played with it for a few years, but within a few years, Marty outgrew the camper, and it was largely forgotten. Most of the gifts that we give and receive every Christmas have a very, very short shelf life. Now, the giving and receiving of gifts was an integral part of that first ancient Christmas story. In Matthew chapter 2, the Bible records the events surrounding Jesus' birth, and this is what we read. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." They received back the answer, "In Bethlehem in Judea." After they had heard the king's response, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw Jesus with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Jesus received three gifts: gold, to symbolize his royalty; incense, as a sign that in this baby, God's presence had come to dwell among men and women; and then myrrh. In Jesus' day, myrrh was a very expensive perfume that was used to prepare bodies for burial. And when you think about it, it's an incredibly strange gift to give to a baby. But in light of the fact that this baby would one day grow up to be a man and die on a cross for the sin of the world, myrrh was a very fitting gift indeed. So Matthew tells us that Jesus received three gifts, but tonight I want to speak briefly about three gifts that Jesus came to bring all of humanity. And the first is joy. On the night Jesus was born, God couldn't contain his own excitement. He had to tell someone, and so he sent an angel on his behalf to announce the birth of Jesus to a group of shepherds who were unlucky enough to draw the night shift. This is what we read. "An angel of the Lord appeared to these shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" We tend to think about joy as being something that comes and goes according to our mood or maybe according to our circumstances. But from God's perspective, joy isn't tied to how you feel or to what you're experiencing. Joy isn't something you can manufacture. It's not something you can buy. It's not really even something you can find. Joy is something that God gives to those who would willingly receive it. Joy isn't so much a feeling or a state of mind. Joy is the heart's response to the good things that God has given us, particularly in Jesus. "Today, in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The good news that we receive at Christmas is that none of us are alone, that none of us are forgotten. God came himself in the form of a little baby to rescue us from sin and death and darkness. It's good news of great joy. The second gift that Jesus came to bring us is peace. Now, on the night that Jesus was born, there wasn't much of what any of us would describe as peace. Instead, Mary was crying out with labor pains. Joseph, no doubt, was wringing his hands anxiously. And the barnyard animals were gathered all around, clucking and mooing and baaing. And Jesus, this Prince of Peace, came to a situation that was void of anything we might describe of peace. Now, when we look around us at our world today, we see things like poverty and oppression and war and injustice. When we look within, what we find is turmoil, often stress, confusion, fear. I want you to think about your own life for just a moment. Your family, your friendship circle, your workplace, your school. We all need peace, don't we? We tend to define peace in terms of the absence of something. Peace is the absence of noise or conflict or difficulty. But from God's perspective, peace is something much bigger and better. And we're told that when Jesus returns again one day, oppression and injustice and war and poverty will be vanquished. Things like stress and confusion and fear, all of that will be no more. The peace that Jesus gives here and now comes with a future promise that one day all will be well. And all will be well. And all matter of things in your life and in this world will be well. The birth of Jesus reminds us that we are not alone and God has not forgotten us. We sang a song, O come Emmanuel, which means God with us. God has come in the person of Jesus to encourage and strengthen and sustain. And so in the face of fear and anxiety, we remember the truth that Jesus is present, that he's loving, that he's strong. So this Christmas season, if you're looking for peace, it's not something that you can manufacture. It's certainly not something that you can buy, but it is something you can receive from God. The third gift that Jesus came to bring is hope. You know, a few years ago, my wife and I brought our two children down to Disneyland, and they were a little bit younger then than they are now, young enough that they were able to absorb the wonder and the magic of everything they saw. The truth of the matter is, even Naomi and I, as we wandered through Disneyland, everything was so clean and beautiful and designed for our pleasure, it confirmed that Disneyland is the happiest place on earth. So as we were walking through the park from time to time, they would be playing well-known Disney tunes, but there was one in particular that struck me. It went a little something like this. When you wish upon a star, it makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. Now, in a place like Disneyland, you almost believe, or at the very least, you wish that this song were true. But if we're honest, whether we look at our own lives or we look at the world around us, we're forced to admit that things often aren't the way we want them to be. Sadly, brokenness abounds. Broken bodies, broken families, broken dreams and desires, broken economic systems, even broken nations. We say to ourselves again and again, it's not supposed to be like this. We long for so much more. We hope that things will be different. But so often, our hope is little more than simply wishful thinking. And so we hope it won't rain in Vancouver in January. Or we hope that all of those extra calories we consume at Christmas won't affect our weight. But there's a vast difference between wishful thinking and hope. Wishful thinking doesn't have the power to sustain us in the real world. At the center of the universe, there lies a story about God, the one who created the world and everything in it. It's a story about God's enduring love and his desire to be in relationship with all of us. It's a story about a God who did the unthinkable in order to draw near. God became human in the person of Jesus Christ. When we look at the Christmas story, we're reminded that we're not alone. God has not forgotten any of us. Jesus came to reveal the full extent of the Father's love. He came to teach, to forgive, and ultimately, through His death and resurrection, to make a way for all of us to call upon the God who invites us to name Him as Father. This is the one story that I never grow tired of telling again and again. The God who loves us became one of us. He came to reveal that He is for us, not against us. And He is. He is for you. Jesus' birth, His death, His resurrection, all of it is for you and for me and this world. Through Jesus, we can find a peace that persists in the middle of difficulty. We can find a joy to sustain us in the midst of life's storms. Through Jesus, we can be ushered into a living hope that never perishes, spoils, or fades. I suspect many of us here tonight, either tonight or tomorrow, are going to be gathered around a tree. And we're going to be handing out to one another beautifully wrapped presents. And I trust as you do, you will think of Jesus and the gifts that He wants to give to you. May His joy enlarge you. May His peace sustain you. And may His hope surround you. Amen and amen.